Hello and welcome to the Geek History Lesson Extra podcast. I am Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And I'm Jason. Sometimes a lady likes to dress in my superhero costumes. Inman, welcome to Geek History Lesson Extra. Because you pay a little bit more, you help us out. We like to give you a little bit more. And today that more is going to be what, Ashley?
It is going to be, since we just talked about Laura Kinney, a.k.a. X-23.
We did.
A.k.a. maybe my new favorite Wolverine. We're going to talk about some of Wolverine's weirdly underage female sidekicks. And then we're gonna rank them. And then if we still have time, we're going to pick who his new one should be.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. All right. Let's go. You have a list?
I do have a list.
Okay, great.
So he has had more than these, but these are the most prominent ones that people tend to think of. It is Kitty Pryde.
Yep.
Jubilee.
Yep.
Rogue.
Yep.
Which is mostly known from the movie.
Because the movie.
But we're going to fold her into this because people know who Rogue
they
is.
They sort of retroactively sort of introduced that into the comic books, even though if you remember from our Wolverine Gears lesson,
he did not like Rogue at all.
Because
she's a baddie.
Yes.
X-23.
Okay.
And Armor.
Okay.
So...
Trying to think if there are any other ones. Probably not. Okay,
there are no
ones.
Other prominent ones, but there are characters from like, you know, miniseries where Wolverine does take.
He never
takes a boy under his wing. It's always weirdly underage girls. I can sort of get it because making him a father figure makes him compassionate in a different way, but it's always struck me as a little bit weird.
It's sometimes a little creepy, especially when you put the Edward and Bella vibe on it, that he's like 150 years old.
Yeah.
And these little girls who probably have crushes on him are like always under 18.
I mean, well, when he's Hugh Jackman, you can't really blame them. So, Jason, who do you think is the best Wolverine underage female sidekick?
This is a tough question. Do we want to judge this by the bias of the best Wolverine sidekick or the best hero / character?
No, the best Wolverine sidekick.
Okay, because I was going to say, like, best hero / sidekick, how does Kitty Pryde not win that competition immediately?
I agree.
I think you have to give it to Jubilee.
Really?
I do.
Tell me why.
Well, because Jubilee has always been, in all of her stories, the one that defends Wolverine, the one that sticks up for him, the one that never gives up on him. And she kind of comes from this period of X-Men history where Wolverine was a bastard.
Yeah, he was super dick, kind of like super dick Batman.
Yes. This was late 80s, early 90s Wolverine, and Wolverine was nothing more than a snarling kind of bastard.
Mm.
And he hadn't developed into the character that he becomes in the late 90s, which he becomes because he loses his adamantium,
mm-hmm.
This sort of Ronin samurai kind of guy. Now, in the mid-80s, when Kitty Pryde was his sidekick, they didn't really give Kitty Pryde the relationship to Wolverine that he would get with Jubilee.
It's something that has been a little bit retconned.
It has been retconned. Mm-hmm. If you go back and read those original comic books...
And most people think of it because of Days of Future Past.
Yes.
Because they travel together.
Yes, yes. If you go back to the original comic books, he's protective of her, but he's not as protective...
I wouldn't say they're close.
No, I don't think so at all. And he barely tolerates her.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas he actually... comes to love Jubilee.
Mm-hmm.
He really does. And you see that in several of their storylines. And she always sticks up for him no matter what he does. Whereas I find some of the other sidekicks will break their promise. I think Armor is like almost immediately knocked off this list because Armor is only his sidekick for literally 12 issues.
Yeah, but she's still one of his more prominent ones.
Sure. And I will give it to you. Mm-hmm. And Rogue, just because of the movie, I don't know. In the comic books, not so much.
Yeah.
Rogue is more of a Gambit type side character.
In the comics, for sure.
I don't know. What do you think?
I don't like Jubilee.
I know you don't like Jubilee, but think about it objectively.
So I understand the point you're making objectively. I mm-hmm. do. I think Jubilee is kind of a silly...
I'm not a huge Jubilee fan either, just to point
it
out.
I'm just saying, a silly nonsense character. I think the answer should be X-23. But something that's addressed in All New Wolverine when she meets Old Man Logan and is addressed in the weird storyline where she's traveling with Gambit and then like Jubilee and Wolverine show up, He keeps her at arm's length.
Yes. And also just the thing that I thought of is X-23 kind of becomes out of this, gets born out of this early 2000s thing that they did with a lot of Marvel characters and DC characters as well, where they revealed these sections of their past that we had never heard of.
Yes.
And the weirdest thing, the biggest thing that made me not like X-23 for the longest time until All New Wolverine basically was because she was kind of revealed at the same time that Daken was revealed. So you sort of had these...
I think they debuted like within months of each other.
Within a year, within a couple years of each other, at least. Yeah. I think X-23 beats Daken by a couple years.
So do you like Daken? Because I don't like Daken.
I like Daken in the Wolverine Origins book.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like him outside of that book.
Because he's had a couple solos here. Like her. She's been around more, but he's had his time.
I think Daken would be a more powerful character if he lived and died only in that series, which I think was his purpose, but I think he became more popular, kind of like what Damian Wayne became.
Yeah.
Grant Morrison always intended to kill him. I think if Daken had been killed by Wolverine at the end of that series, which was the ending of that series, but and not brought into the Marvel Universe, I think Daken would be a more powerful character.
Interesting.
But I agree with you. I don't see X-23 as a sidekick to him. I see X-23 as like this problem that he has to deal with.
Yeah, and he treats her that way too.
And he does. He doesn't really treat her as a sidekick.
Which is interesting because characters like her and Kate Bishop are now the legacy characters that Marvel swore for so long they were never going to do.
Yeah. There are a lot of legacy Marvel characters now.
I mean, there's two Vision kids. Yep. Like, there are because...
There's a kid Spider-Man now.
Yeah.
There's a kid Vision.
And you know why they did that? They knew that they were going to have to recast those damn movies at some point. so they were like, let's make new characters.
You know, yeah, probably.
All right, so you're going to put Jubilee on the top of your
Jubilee
list.
Jubilee is number one, I think, no doubt.
I think objectively, which I guess is what we're doing, sure.
Yeah.
So if Jubilee's top, who do you put second?
Who do you put as second? This is a tougher decision.
I would put Kitty Pryde second.
I agree with you, I think.
Because even though he doesn't have the tight, like, paternal bond with her, they do really important stuff together.
They do.
So I think that even if their personalities didn't clash, like, they're bonded over the shit they see.
And this relationship is, I think, very much a retroactive radio. They've made it, like, he has a very nice scene with Kitty in The Death of Wolverine.
It is also highlighted and built upon in Astonishing X-Men.
Yep.
When he returns and throws Scott out the window. It's just like one of my favorite things he's ever done, which is why I keep bringing it up. But Kitty is one of the people who can keep him calm. He goes to her for advice. She goes to him for advice, stuff like that. So yeah, I think that she would be next.
I agree. Sure.
So we have Jubilee, Kitty Pryde.
Who are other choices here?
X-23, Armor, and Rogue.
Blech.
I would put X-23 next.
You okay?
And then Armor, and then Rogue.
I think Rogue almost deserves... I understand why she's on this list, but like, yeah, I almost
wanted
think she...
To have, five was a nice number to
I,
have
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, I almost think she's not on this list.
Mm.
Interesting, I almost would have put... I would have considered Dust on this list.
Really?
Well, because if you look at Grant Morrison's new X-Men run, where Dust is introduced, she's sort of introduced in a storyline where she is sort of one of these Wolverine girl sidekick characters.
Okay, so if we let's include her. Why not? If we're going to put Dust on this list, where do you rank her?
Above Armor.
Above Armor. So you go Jubilee, Kitty Pryde, X-23, Dust, Armor, Rogue.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Dust is a character I also think, too, like, I stated that she's problematic, I think that for a variety of reasons, but she's a character that I think...
Why do you think she's problematic? I wanted to ask you that during the regular podcast, but I didn't get a chance.
Okay, I think she's problematic because...
And you can let loose because we're in an extra.
She is literally created in reaction to 9/11.
Sure.
They were literally like, oh, fuck, we don't have any empathetic Muslim characters, and this is the book where we're supposed to do that.
Yeah.
My problem, too, is that they go out of their way to make her as foreign as possible. They stick her in a burqa. They do everything to make her other instead of to make her relatable.
Okay.
And by making her a mutant, I think she's other enough. I think it would have been better to incorporate a character who is more like Kamala Khan.
Interesting.
Than Dust. And I also think the fact that her power is that, like, she's a person from the Middle East who can, like, disappear into sand. I think that's I think that's a really uncreative choice. I just don't like it.
Well, it's not it's not quite sand. It's a cloud of dust.
Well, yes. I've also read a couple criticisms of it by Muslim people, by people from that part of the world.
Interesting.
And she's not
they don't like her
as well. She's not well received.
Really?
Whereas again, like Kamala Khan, it's just such an easy contrast. She's a very well received character. And now this is me, of course, speaking as like a white, non-Muslim consumer of these products. But I think that you could take dust and do something really interesting with her. But I think the character needs a bit of rehabbing. And I'm not the person to do it.
Yes.
But I think that there is a really great person out there who could. And if you want to do that and make it relevant by attaching her to Wolverine again, I would be totally up for that.
Well, to be honest with you, I don't have as much problem with dust as you do. Mm-hmm. She is a reaction, even though she's a year and a half removed from 9/11. She is a reaction. She didn't show up until the end of 2002.
But comics move slowly. So.
Agreed. Very agreed. She is from Afghanistan.
Yes.
And she is a Sunni Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm not bothered with her headdress, because that is exactly what she would wear if she was from that part of the world.
Yeah, yeah.
I can understand that there might be some perspective, and you've heard some other podcasts stuff like that. I don't have the problem with Dust, and she's a character I wish we saw more.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand what you're saying, but I also would also flip that point with, that's the difference from the difference between Kamala Khan and I think Dust is the fact that Kamala Khan is an American.
No, completely.
And Dust is from Afghanistan.
But again,
war-torn Afghanistan.
My argument, I guess, is more that, like, if you're trying to make it accessible,
yes,
you should not have made her so obviously other.
I don't know. I liked her. As soon as she showed up, I liked her. And she's,
I like her too.
And she's, when she is first shown.
But you're never going to sell an action figure of a girl in a burqa.
No, that's true. That's very true. But they hardly make X-Men action figures based on the comics anymore. Anyway.
I know.
You know, the 20th Century Fox don't like that anyway. But I do admire that when she first shows up, she's able to beat. She has an amazing introduction. Her introduction is she's able to beat Wolverine.
Yeah.
Which is a very powerful introduction.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about character introductions into, I mean, Kitty Pryde's first introduction is that she gets lost in the X-Mansion and has to be saved by Wolverine.
Yeah, poor Kitty
Pryde. You know, so it's interesting when you throw another character and then the character is able to beat Wolverine.
X-23 could do that too.
X-23 as well. Yeah, her introduction is she was able to beat Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rogue's introduction is she kisses people. Anyways,
we were not Rogue fans.
I would put Dust among Armor. Armor, I want to go back and talk about a character that I think is badly represented. Armor is this character that was introduced by Joss Whedon to be this awesome character. We were told how awesome she was. She's so awesome. Wolverine's like, oh, you're going to go to this alien planet with us. We're never shown how awesome she is.
Yeah.
She never gets that awesome moment in 12 issues.
I just love the idea of her so much.
I mean, and I think, you can love the idea of a character all that you want, but if that character never does anything.
I agree, but she's basically only appeared in those.
Basically. She's appeared in some other stuff.
She's in Avengers Arena. She's pretty great in Avengers Arena, but like, she's a character who I think has not had enough time.
Exactly.
Mm.
Exactly. And you want to put a thing about it. Armor only... Armor created 2 years after Dust.
Yes.
Like 2 or 3 years after Dust.
There was a time in the early to mid 2000s where the X-Men were like, we need a lot less white people.
Yeah, we need a lot of diverse girls.
Yes. Yeah, yes. And there's a lot of female characters introduced at
exactly.
that time.
And some of the new Angel was introduced during that time. The African-American Angel.
Yes. Pixie was introduced
at that time. And I think Pixie's supposed to be, she's not a Filipino, Asian. I'm not certain.
I would have to look it up.
Anyways, Pixie was introduced during that time. There were a lot of young girls introduced during that time in X-Men. It was weird. They went for like.
I also think it was reactionary to X2 hit in a big way.
Yes.
And X-Men has always been popular with females, so I think it was trying to capture that audience a little bit
too. Yeah. So it's interesting to me because I think if you put Dust and Armor against each other, Dust is the way better character than Armor.
I would say so.
You know, it's because like people have done stuff with Dust, and Dust I feel like has more memorable moments than Armor, who again never proves her worth.
You can put them in a miniseries together. I would read the hell out of that.
Why not? And have them led by X-23.
Put all
these women X-Men on the same team. I would read the hell out of that book.
Yeah. Oh,
you
man.
Know? Call it X-Women.
I mean, yeah.
Done.
Instead of just calling it X-Men and it's still full of women, like
call it
they did.
Call it X-Women. I'm in. I'm in. I would read all of these girls on a book together.
Me too.
To save Wolverine.
To bring him back to life.
To bring him back to life.
These are
all the women that are going to do it.
And then Kitty Pryde is like their oracle. Like, she's their contact back at the mansion.
Well, she's their leader because she's the most experienced.
Yeah.
And they've kind of aged Kitty up now.
She's like pushing 30 if she's not 30 right now.
Yeah, easily. So, I mean, do you agree with this list?
I do. I do agree with
are
this
you
list.
Are you okay with my including Dust?
I am totally open
in this
to
as
that.
Well?
She was not in the list that I pulled this from. So I'm more than happy to
That's
include
fine.
Her.
So, okay, cool. Any final thoughts on the ladies of the X-Men? That love Wolverine.
I think it's super weird.
Is it creepy?
It is creepy, but I will say, when you are a 14-year-old girl, it's really cool.
Okay.
But then you become like a 20-year-old woman, and you're like, it's a little less cool.
You also brought up something during the podcast that you said you wanted to have the claws of Wolverine.
Totally.
All right. How did the claws of Wolverine work? Because let's work through physics, okay? They come out of the top of his hand, right?
They
have to go past his wrist.
They go up into your wrists in between the tendons.
They have to go past his wrist, because otherwise, how does he bend his wrist?
Well,
he can't with adamantine claws.
And they're 9
there.
Inches long. Like, yeah, they go up into your forearm.
That's gross.
9 inches long. Is enough to go through a human body.
That doesn't make sense.
Look.
Are they actually 9 inches long?
Wolverine's claws are 9 inches long.
Wolverine Logan.
Yes.
Not the animal. Not the skunk bear.
Not this. My brain keeps autocorrecting to stink bear, but I know it's skunk bear. So funny. Yeah, Logan's claws are 9 inches.
Are her claws the same length?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's never been explicitly stated.
You would think they'd be a little bit shorter.
She's tiny.
Because her arms
aren't
as long.
He's like 5'3", so she's got to be 5 tops.
By the way, has there ever been an action figure X-23?
No.
Has there? Oh, we'll look it up. There might have been an X-Men Evolution action figure.
There might be. I don't own it, so I'm inclined to be like, no, there hasn't been.
I'm just curious. That's one of those things. Like, you think that she has a good look? That they were made, it may have been an action figure of X-23 made in there. They definitely.
There has been a Marvel Legends.
Oh yeah, I
where she's
that
in
one.
Her purple outfit.
That's not very good. Outfit.
It's not a very good action.
They're gonna
figure.
Make one with her in her new Wolverine costume.
I'm gonna buy it. So. Oh yeah, and there's one. There's a Marvel Universe one, which is also not great.
The little tiny.
She's
one.
Got her belly out and her sunglasses on. Yeah, there have been, but they're not.
They're not great.
Yeah, there hasn't been a Marvel Legends one, and that's the line that matters.
Yeah, well, there has been, but it was. Or I remember
it was,
that.
It was,
now that you
it
brought
was
it up,
proto.
Yeah,
it's not what it is. It's not the Black Box series that you see now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was when they had the giant plastic package.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those are some great action figures. All right. Anyways, we've gabbed enough.
I think we
rank these people. Jubilee's the best. You probably never thought we'd ever say that, but we just did.
I know.
I don't like Jubilee either, but she is number one on this list.
That's sometimes you got to make the list subjective.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It's because of you that we do this. And if you think our stuff is cool, we thank you for supporting. Go share it with your friends.
Please.
Literally, go share your friends. Be like, these people are cool. They put Jubilee number one. Who thought they'd ever fucking do that? Right? Okay.
Right.
Thank you for listening. I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
See you later, you Jubilee-loving monkeys.